know, I was not at the beach last week. Right? I was in a Bible conference last week. Got back late on Friday night. On Saturday, we had an outing with our youth. I was outside for 2 hours, and I got sunburned. So that's what you're seeing. That's the truth with my hand up. All right? All right, this is Bible Doctrine 2. This is lesson number 3. We're going to be talking about prayer tonight. And we're looking in the book of Nehemiah. And I'm going to read a few verses there. I've got Nehemiah, that whole first chapter, which we're not going to read that. I want to read a couple of verses out of chapter 1 and a couple of verses out of chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter number 1, we'll begin reading there with verse number 4. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Look, if you will, at chapter number 2 and verse number 4. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I guess we could choose many other places in Scripture to kind of get us started on the issue of prayer. One of the more interesting studies of Scripture, and maybe one of the most meaningful for our individual life, is really the prayers that are prayed in the Bible. You know, the great men of God prayed. Moses, we hear Moses praying. We hear Isaiah praying. We hear Elijah praying. I'm kind of partial to the prayer of Elijah on Mount Carmel. I mean, after the prophets of Baal have put on the show that they put on, Elijah just prays a real short, succinct, to-the-point prayer. And the prayer goes something like this: Lord, show these people that you've sent me here to do this at your bidding and prove who you are, and God answers. So I'm glad, you know, prayer, you don't have to have a long, drawn-out time to pray, just to pray. Prayer should be one of the most important pursuits of the believer's life. Of course, here in Nehemiah, we know this. Nehemiah is one of those great figures in Scripture that God uses in a mighty way. Nehemiah was a man of courage. He was a man of action. But he was a man of prayer. And somewhere along the way, Nehemiah learned how to pray. And By the way, I also love the prayers of Nehemiah. You get on in the book, and he has all the trouble with Sanballat and different ones. And I love the way he prays. He says, Lord, don't hold him guiltless. Lord, don't cover up his sin. Lord, hold him accountable. I'm going to tell you something. We don't normally pray that way, but Pastor, I'm going to tell you something. That's a good way to pray sometimes. God, you see it. Don't hold him guiltless. Don't hold him or hold him accountable for this. So, we know Nehemiah gets to Jerusalem. There's a monumental task there to rebuild the wall. As a matter of fact, if you look at it physically, just the physical aspect of rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem, it's an impossibility. It really is an impossible task. I mean, there's Nehemiah. The people are there. The people are lethargic. They have been neglectful. They are unconcerned. The city is in ruins. There's not really anybody talking about rebuilding the wall. And, I mean, it's just a burden that God has placed on the heart of Nehemiah when he gets there. And here we see this, that Nehemiah is going to accomplish what he accomplishes because of prayer. Now, as with any task that we approach, it ought to be approached prayerfully. If we're going to have revival in this day, it's going to come down on our knees. It's going to come before us seeking the face of God. J. Vernon McGee said, Nehemiah believed in watching and working. He also believed in working and praying. watch and pray or work and pray are words that characterize this man. In other words, Nehemiah sees the need. He's watching. What does he do? He prays. He starts working. What does he do while he's working? He prays. Prayer ought to be part of our life. Now, unfortunately, the church of our day has gotten a long ways away from the importance of prayer. And, you know, if you most all of us would agree with that. If you want to disagree with that, just call for a prayer meeting. I was pastoring my second church and getting ready for revival. We're having prayer meetings for revival. The revival is supposed to start on a Monday night. And on Saturday evening, we're going to have a prayer meeting to get ready for revival. We have it there in the fellowship of our hall of our church. And I'm there waiting for folks to show up. The time rolls around. And guess what? Only one showed up, and that was me. And I'm 23 years old. Number one, I'm discouraged, but I don't know how you done, but especially then, if I got discouraged, I got mad. And I let it go for about 5 minutes, and I just decided, well, I'm here to have a prayer meeting, and I had a prayer meeting. And I mean, I got on my face before God, and I went to praying. I mean, I went to laying it out there, and I was, you know, it's just me and the Lord. I'm just saying it the way that I feel it. And I don't know how long I prayed. When I got done praying, I said amen, and I looked up, and back in the back of the fellowship hall, there sat a little couple that had slipped in while I was praying. They heard all that I'd said. And I will tell you, to this day, they're still some of my biggest supporters. They'll come from time to time when I'm preaching somewhere, just come, and they'll always say the same thing. Pastor, we just want to encourage you. So something happened with that prayer, all right? Prayer is underestimated by most of us. If there's any area in our life that we can improve on, it's our prayer life. I don't care how great of a prayer warrior you may be. There's more for us to pray about. There's more for us to be invested in. You know, when you think about it, are you mad at someone? What should you do? You need to pray. You know, Are you burdened about some need? Pray. Are you having problems with your health? Pray. Do you need a job? Is your finances in bad situation? Pray. Do you have someone that needs to be saved? Pray. C.J. Barber said this: the self-sufficient do not pray, they talk to themselves. The self-satisfied will not pray, they have no knowledge of their need. The self-righteous cannot pray. They have no basis on which to approach God. Beloved, a wise believer is not self-sufficient, self-satisfied, or self-righteous. Prayer simply says this: we've got needs, and we know the one who can meet those needs. So I want us to talk about prayer tonight. I think one reason why maybe there's not a lot of interest in prayer is because when you take the subject of prayer, you ought not to glamorize it. You ought not try to make it something other than what it is. Prayer is simple, and we just need simple instruction about it. And so I'm going to give you some tonight, all right? And these are things that not only are good for a class, they're good for our lives. What is prayer? What is prayer? Well, first of all, prayer is access to God. Prayer is access to God. Paul said in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Do you understand that when you and I go to the Lord in prayer, that in that moment we are gaining access with Holy God? And Paul talks about that there in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 18. Now, the word that is used there for access, the Greek word that's used there, simply means this. It means to be brought into the presence, or it means an entrance. Now, you understand that through Jesus Christ, we have been given an entrance into the very presence of God, that we can go to Him and pray. The day that Jesus died on the cross and he finished the work of Calvary, and he said, "It is finished," the Father responded that day by ripping the veil of the temple in two from the top to the bottom. In that moment, God gave access not only to the Jew, but also to the Gentile into the very presence of God, into the holies of holies itself. So prayer is this, in its simple terms, it is access to God. Now, the verb form of the Greek word that is used there is, it means this, it means to bring into, into the presence. And that's what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And so prayer is just an evidence that what Jesus has done for us, he has brought us into the presence of the Father. Now, we would all say this, that we don't deserve coming into the presence of the Father on our own merits. None of us. Now, I've had people when I've talked to them, visited with them, and I've had individuals say things like this, you know, I just feel like I'm unworthy to pray. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody ought to feel that way. We are unworthy. We are unworthy. But it's not our righteousness that makes us worthy. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, dear friend. There's nothing we could ever do to become worthy. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, and that being applied to us in Christ, we have now been given access to the Father, and it's through His worth that we're able to go to the Father now, and only through His worth. And so prayer is access to God. And of course, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 is one that we're most familiar with when it comes to the area of prayer. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. One of my favorite verses when it comes to prayer is that verse. I like the visual, don't you? We can come to the throne of grace, and we don't just come to the throne of grace. God says you can come boldly. You don't have to kind of just slip in. You don't have to just kind of slip under the radar. God says come in boldly. My grandkids come into the house. I want to tell you, when they come into our house, they come in boldly. They don't stop at the door and peck at the door. That door swings open and they come in, and I mean from the moment they come in to the moment they leave, it's nothing but a bold mess, all right? And it's, hey, Papa. And you know what? That's exactly the way that I want it. From time to time, our granddaughter, she'll say, can I have a snack? Can I have something to drink, Papa? Can I have something to eat? And you know what? And she asks because she's been taught. That's polite. But you know, she gets the same answer every time. Honey, you don't have to ask for that. The refrigerator's over there. The cabinets are over there. If there's something in there, it's in my house, it's your house, it's yours. You can just go right over there like you own that refrigerator. You can go right over to that cabinet, just like you can just go boldly if you want to. That's what God says. That's the invitation of God to you and I. Come boldly before the throne of grace. That don't mean that we go in disrespectful. That's not what that means. But it does mean this, that we acknowledge the great work that Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary for us. And because of that work, we've been allotted this privilege to come to God in this manner. All right? So we see that it's access to God. What a joy it is for a Christian to have this type of access. And then you see also prayer is obedience to God. Prayer is obedience to God. You do understand, whenever we pray, we are obeying the Father. You understand, whenever we pray, we are obeying God in that moment. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. All right? Now, that's a command of God. When are we to pray? Without ceasing. That just simply means we're to pray all the time. But you understand that as we pray, one of the joys of prayer ought to be this. That, you know what, we are doing in this moment what God has commanded us to do. And He has called us to pray. Now, a lot of people don't pray, quite frankly, I believe, because of two reasons. I think, number one, that a lot of people don't pray because they don't see it to be important. All right? They don't think it to be important. Number two, I think people don't pray because to them, it's just something that's not necessary. It's something that that they can just get by without doing. They're unconcerned. And they don't see it as an area of obedience to the Lord. And God said, pray. Now, Jesus says in Luke chapter number 18, verse number 1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Now, a lot of times we don't pray just because we simply don't feel like praying. We don't feel like praying. I will tell you, there's a lot of times I don't feel like it. Now, there's some Sunday mornings that I wake up and look. When I was 23 years old, all was on my mind was preaching. I wanted to preach. I wanted to preach. That's all I wanted to do. And man, Sunday morning, what rolled around? I mean, I was ready. I had all the energy in the world. There's some Sundays now when I've gone all week, and I wake up on Sunday morning, and my back's hurting, my head's hurting, and I'm wore out from the week. That physically, I'll just be honest with you, I don't feel like going and preaching. But they won't just let you call in every Sunday morning. You got to show up, amen. Why do you go? It's not because of that. It's because of this. God called me. God called me. I want to be obedient to what it is that God called me to do. I want to tell you something, though. God commanded us to pray. And he didn't say pray when you feel like it. Pray when it's something that's easy to do. He just simply says at all times. Don't cease to pray. Keep on praying. And so prayer is obedience to God. Prayer is also asking God for help. Prayer is asking God for help. Matthew 7, verse 7 says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You know, what is prayer? I mean, if you're going to boil it down to our lives, the vast majority of our prayer life is spent asking God for his help. Now look, I'm not at all convinced that's what it ought to be, that our prayer life ought to be just consumed with asking God to help here and to help there. But if you're just going to be honest about it, humanly speaking, I guess that's what it boils down to. The majority of our prayers when prayer life is just asking God. Now you say, well, that's not the case. Well, I would ask you to address yourself here. When do you do your most praying? When do you really get committed to praying? Is it not when you need some help? And so prayer, that's part of prayer. Prayer is us asking God for help. The psalmist said in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time and trouble. And I'm glad that he is, aren't you? I'm glad that in our time of trouble that God is a present help. And it is through the avenue of prayer that we attain that help. Psalm 60, verse 11 says, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. And so prayer is just simply us asking God, God, help us. And then prayer is also communicating with God. Prayer is communicating with God. Now, in 1 Kings, we have a good picture there of what communication is. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 29, Solomon is praying, and the temple is being dedicated. Solomon is praying. He says this, that thine eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And so Solomon just asking God, God, would you be mindful of this place when things are not going the way they ought to be going, and people come to this place and they turn their attention toward you, would you hear their prayers? And so Solomon is asking God for this. Now, how many of you understand communication's a two-way street? Men, we cannot communicate with God the way we do with our wives most of the time. Now, you do it. Now this is as my understanding, is a psychological fact. All right, most men use 15,000 words a day. 15,000 words a day is what most men use in a normal day. Most women use 30,000 words in a day. So what that means, by the time a man gets home, you can look this up. I'm being serious. By the time a man gets home, what has generally happened is he has used his words up And so what does a man want to do when he gets home? He wants to come in and zone out. I mean, he don't want to talk. He don't want to think about anything. But the wife's only used half of her words. And so what does she want to do? She wants to talk. And so she goes to talking. And men, we become professional at this, have we not? We know when to go, And that's not communication. Communication is two ways. And part of communication is what we say, and part of communication is what we hear. And so Solomon has communicated, Lord, would you give your attention to this place? In 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 3, the Bible says this, and the Lord said unto him, so God's communicating back. The Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication. So prayer is communication. Now, I've had folks say this to me. Preacher, I run out of things to say in prayer. Well, perhaps it's time to listen. Perhaps it's time to be quiet and be still and just simply say, God, this is your time. Speak to me. You communicate to me. And so prayer is communication, all right? Then we have the question, will God hear my prayer? Will God hear my prayer? Job 22, verse 27 says, thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Look, Job is just being assured. You make your prayer toward God, and you know what? God will hear you. Does God hear our prayers? Sure he does. Sure he does. Now, God hears all things. Now, does God commit himself to all prayer? Absolutely not. Now, God is not committed to the prayer of the lost man. God has not tied himself to the prayer life of the lost man. All right, the general prayer that God hears from a lost man is, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Something along those lines. It's a prayer of repentance and salvation. For the believer, though, God has committed himself to our prayer life. And so when we pray, rest assured that God does hear our prayers. Now, there's times when it's hard to pray. You know, sometimes when we're praying, I've had these moments. Listen, when I've had those times when my heart was breaking, when I was discouraged, when I was going through issues, and I didn't know how to pray. As a matter of fact, I was so broken I couldn't pray. All I could do is just be before the Lord right there. And I want to tell you, that's the best praying you're ever going to do. Because the Bible says the Spirit makes intercession for us. He knows our groanings. He knows what's going on. And God knows that. Do you understand? That's prayer as well. So does God hear our prayers? Sure, God hears our prayers. Now, how should I pray? How should I pray? That's a question that people ought to be asking. You know, how should I pray? And that was a question that was asked of Jesus. And Jesus instructed his disciples how to pray. They're in Matthew chapter number 6, verses 5 through 13. And I'm not going to read all that to start with. I'm just going to go with it and give you some of these answers. How should I pray? Well, first of all, pray to God not to impress people. Pray to God not to impress people. You know, and we've all heard it, have we not? And probably some of us were guilty of at times praying this way. Trying to impress the crowd. And you hear people saying things, you know, and when prayers turn into sermons, I'm sometimes sitting there thinking to myself, okay, should we open our scripture somewhere and let him finish, or are we going to talk to God? I mean, what's going on here? You know, our especially public prayer, and I want to, you know, we need to put more thought into our public prayer than what we put into it. You know, Pastor, when we're leading that prayer before that congregation, it's not for the congregation. It's not to the congregation. I mean, in that moment, we're calling upon God himself. And as we do so, we ought to be praying to him. It's not to impress others. Now, Jesus speaks about that in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say to you, They have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know, before we pray in public, I think it ought to be a necessity that we have prayed privately. You know, so the Lord said, don't be like a hypocrite. Don't just try to impress the crowd with your prayer. Impressive prayers that we hear, not necessarily prayer sometimes. Well, and then do not pray repeating empty words. Don't pray repeating empty words. Jesus said in verses 6 through 8, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. Now, and probably all of us know people who have certain words. I know a few people when they pray and they're called on to pray, all of a sudden everything about their voice changes and the way they speak changes. And they'll say two or three words, and after they'll say that two or three words, they'll say, Lord, and then they'll go on, two or three words, Lord, two or three words, Lord. Well, let me just, you know, some of that's nerves. Praying in public is nerves, and I think the Lord understands that, amen? But understand this, the moment that we say, Father, He knows who's being spoke to. I can't stand when somebody is talking to me and they'll say two or three words, say, Eric. Let's say two or three words, say, Eric, I say, look, I'm listening to you. Yeah, you got my attention, all right? Don't use vain repetition. Of course, I think we can go farther than that. I've said this for years. I think a lot of people could save a lot of time in their life if they just sit down at a computer and type out their prayer, print it out, and tape it to the door, to the post of their bed there. And when they go to bed at night, just say, Lord, there it is. You can read it for yourself. Because they say it's the same thing night after night. That's not to say that I'm not praying. Listen, don't misunderstand me. There are things that I've been praying for some 20 years, and those are serious things in my life. But I hope you also understand this: I've got new things in my life in the last 20 days. In the last 20 hours, there's new issues in my life. Those are things that we ought to be praying for. So. Vain repetition is just repeating yourself. And a lot of that happens, you know, with preaching. Now, how many of you have ever heard three sermons in the same sermon? Years ago, I was preaching in a meeting, and I was behind a preacher. The sermon was good the first time around. By the third time around, I'm praying at that moment, God, give him a landing spot somewhere. Vain repetition, all right? Vain repetition is something that the Lord says stay away from, all right? So we don't need that. Come to God with a respectful attitude. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Prayer ought to be one of the most reverent, respectful things that we do. Our Father, which art in heaven. Your name is hallowed. Your name is holy. Hallowed be thy name. Then, desire God's will for your life. Verse number 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And you know, when we go before the Lord, that's one thing that ought to be a constant desire of us. I want to know God's perfect will for my life. I want to know God's present will for my life. And I want God's will done in my life. And a lot of our prayer life, though, I believe, is used us trying to convince God that our will's better. God, do it our way. Do what we want here. When we believe this, that God directs the footsteps of a righteous man, and He puts us where He wants us to be. And sometimes instead of praying, Lord, do it my way, don't you think it'd be a better use of our time just to say, God, let your will be done. Whatever your will is. And so we've got to seek God's will for our life. And then ask for your daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Right? Give us this day. Now, in the time that Jesus gives this, we understand that daily needs, as far as food and things of that nature is a little more pressing thing. They didn't have refrigerators and things of that nature to keep food a long time. So it was daily they were having to go and get their food. But it give the illustration that there's daily needs for us. Most of the time, we're worried about what's on down the road. What's going to happen at retirement age? What's going to happen down here? What's going to happen over there? And the Lord says, you know what? The worries of today are sufficient. This day, whatever's before us today, we've got to somehow be present in the moment. And so one way to do that is just ask God. God, give us this day our daily bread. God, provide for my needs today. And you understand, God knows what your needs are, and whatever they are, He's able to provide for them. Then acknowledge your sins and forgive those who have sinned against you. Verse 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so Jesus said, look, pray this way. Lord, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our debts. Now, if nobody's told you lately, let me remind you of this. You got some sins. You got some sins in your life. All right? We are walking through this world. The priest, when they came to the tabernacle and the temple, before they could go in and do any service, they had to go by that laver. They went by that laver and they washed their hands and they washed their feet. And they had to wash their feet because they're walking in the dust of the world. Look, you and I are walking in this culture, and I promise you this, the culture is having an impact and an effect on us. And we've got to acknowledge our sins. Now look, you can't call people to repentance unless you're practicing it. You can't be effective in that unless you understand the battle. So Jesus said, look, acknowledge your sin, ask God to forgive your sin, and then forgive those who sin against you. Now that's a longer sermon, all right? But if you see yourself hopeless and helpless before a mighty God, it will help you extend the mercy and grace to others that God gives to you, all right? And then pray for spiritual protection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Boy, if there's ever been a day the church needs to be praying that, it's today. We need spiritual protection. And then accept that God is in control and He deserves the glory. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, forever, amen. All right, and so God is really in control right here. Acknowledge that. Now, why does it seem that our prayers do not get answered? Number one, by not asking. James said in James 4, verse 2, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. And a lot of times the reason we don't get our prayers answered is because we don't ask. And I want to tell you something. I'm guilty of this at times, and especially in my younger days. There's some things that I knew I needed to be praying about and asking God about. And quite frankly, I'm going to tell you, I was scared that maybe He wouldn't answer. Well, guess what? As long as that prayer went unprayed, it went unanswered. And so James says, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. And then, not only by not asking, but by asking selfishly. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. You're asking for the wrong things that you may consume it upon your lust. He's saying there, you're asking for selfish things, things that simply you desire. And so you can ask for that. That's one reason it can't be answered. And then number three, by not having a proper relationship with your spouse. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, and that verse is given to the husbands, and it ends this way. It's talking about being good to your wife, that your prayers be not hindered. And husbands, your prayers can be hindered by the way that you treat your wife. And all the women love that verse, but I want to say this to the ladies as well. You know, if it applies to the husband, it also applies to you. If the role of the husband can hinder his prayer life, it stands to reason that the role of the wife can hinder her prayer life as well. And so by an improper relationship with our spouse can hinder it. Then also by not confessing sin. Psalm 66 verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I give sin a place of in my heart, then the Bible simply says God will not hear me. Now let me real quickly run through this and give you some practical tips on prayer. Just some things that that I think would help our prayer life. Number one, keep a list. Make a list of your prayer life. Keep a record. As a matter of fact, I wish that I had done this many years ago. Just keep a journal of it. Just write down what you're asking God for today. Put the date on it. Put little notes beside it. What are the circumstances? Years down the road, if Jesus tarries and you look back over that, it'll be a blessing to you. But you know this, years down the road, if you're gone from here and your family looks back over it, it'll be a blessing to them. Keep a list of it. Number two, schedule a time. Schedule a time to pray. Now, everybody's busy. Everybody's busy today. But I want to tell you this. Everybody's got a schedule. Everybody's going to the doctor's appointments. They're going to their jobs. They've got a time. Schedule a time to pray. Psalm 55, verse 17 says, "Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud and hear." Daniel opened his window three times a day and prayed. Schedule a time. Lord, this is going to be our time. Find a place. Mark chapter 6, verse 46. When he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Even Jesus had a place to pray. And then the fourth, keep a record of answered prayers. Keep a record of answered prayers. Psalm 118, verse 21. "I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation." Listen, when we have prayer requests at church, we need to hear. We need to hear who's died this week. We need to hear that Aunt Susie's having surgery. This one's got cancer. We need to hear that. But you know what we also need to hear? We need to hear, you know what? I just want to praise God because we prayed about this 3 weeks ago, and you know what? God's answered this prayer. And we need to be praising Him for it. Amen.